Small children are afraid of the dark. No matter all the talk reminding them that there are no monsters or ghosts, there is nothing to be frightened of under the bed, in the closets, or down the hall. Every night, parental types have the same conversation, even though there is nothing to be afraid of. Yet when darkness falls and bedtime comes all over the world, the same conversations occur. We've tried it all. Prayers to guardian angels, closing closet doors, stomping our feet and saying, "Go away, monsters, stomp, stomp. Go away, monsters, stomp, stomp." My sister invented Monster Begone spray, and my mother had a Monster Away wand. There are all kinds of ways to try to keep away the things that frighten us. But despite our best efforts, there is always something to be afraid of. In today's gospel, Jesus is teaching in the temple. He is standing in the most magnificent building in all of Jerusalem, perhaps in all of the known world at the time, and saying, "This building isn't just going to fall down, it's going to be torn down. And all that you see will no longer exist. But don't freak out. It's all going according to plan." I don't know about you, but if someone walked into this building right now and said, "Well, the ceiling's going to cave in, the stained glass windows are going to shatter, and this place where you have invested so much time and money won't be around anymore, don't worry, that's all according to plan," I would definitely worry. And I would definitely freak out. And I would definitely feel like that was not according to my plan. But here's the thing. God isn't standing in heaven with a cigar hanging out of his mouth like Hannibal from the A-Team saying, "I love it when a plan comes together." While the temple crumbles and earthquakes rattle foundation and fire and brimstone rain down from the heavens, that is not the prophecy that Jesus gives. Luke's prophetic Christ is one that we could recognize in every generation. All the things that humanity builds are temporary. All the greatest of our accomplishments are ephemeral. Whether it's something like a fad, like slap bracelets or moon shoes or fidget spinners or whatever the next hottest thing is that comes out this holiday season, technological advancements will inevitably replace the next big thing because humanity has a tendency to always strive to outpace the previous version of itself. Jesus tells us not to be afraid, because while the glory of this world will pass away, it will make way for a future which we cannot yet imagine. Here's the thing about most people's imaginations. Most of us live in a state of imagined fear rather than imagined hope. And many will say that that is because there's a difference between pessimists and optimists in our midst. But I think it's actually more nuanced than that. I think it's more about understanding our fears and acknowledging them and living courageously anyway. I imagine that if Jesus were speaking to our generation, he wouldn't be saying, "Do not be afraid." Rather, he would be saying, "Be brave. Feel the fear and do it anyway." I have recently had the chance to show my children in a very obvious I have been able to show this to my children in a very clear way, that you can be afraid of something and still face it. First, you should know that I am scared of heights. I have been for as long as I can remember, which might seem odd coming from a woman who is almost 6 foot tall, but there you have it. A few weeks ago, when we were driving to Pennsylvania for my grandfather's funeral, because of traffic and weather, we were diverted off of the I-95 corridor to a different course, which took us over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Now, I hate this bridge. I hate to be a passenger on it. Even when my husband is driving, I tend to read a book or focus on knitting or even just keep my head between my knees. My kids have seen me do this every year of their lives as we always vacation at the Delaware seashore. But this day, as we approach the bridge, I am driving. And Audrey notices. And she quietly says, "Mama, you're scared of bridges." And I reply, "Yes. Yes, I am." And I grasp the steering wheel a little tighter and I take a deep breath and I say, "But Mama can do hard things, baby." And when we crossed the bridge, she ecstatically yelled, "Mama, you did it! Mama, you did it!" And in that instant, I felt elated and scared and proud simultaneously. But I think the best way to describe it was that I was brave. Now, I've done a lot of reading on bravery in the past few years. I've devoured the work of Brené Brown. I've watched her TED Talks and her Netflix special, and I've even thought about enrolling in some of her courses, but the timing isn't right for me now with two small children at home. Perhaps someday that time will come. But for me, what have I learned from Brené is what I learned from Jesus about fear. And it's pretty much the same thing. Don't let fear control the narrative. Brown's work shows the how, why, and what to do to combat fear that can swamp us. I think of Brené Brown as my grown-up nightlight. When I find myself sitting up at night wondering and worrying about all of the what-ifs, I often find myself thinking, what would Brené say in this situation? Am I focusing on fear or hope? Am I focusing on scarcity or abundance? Am I being daring or am I submissive? When I find my answers to be fear, scarcity, and submission, I do my best to change my perspective and find hope, abundance, and daring choices. Now, no one can do this all the time on their own. And this is the great thing about being part of a community of like-minded believers. We can recognize when we speak to one another out of fear or anxiety or doubt. And in those moments, we ought to be able to call one another into a loving conversation. When these kinds of worries are voiced, when these doubts arise, and we do not acknowledge them, they become like boogeymen hiding in dark recesses of our bedroom closets. Right now, in this parish, we are in a period of a lot of unknowns. It's an interim period. And while Bill is great, we know he will only be here for a short time. And after a long tenure with Beau, preceded by an even longer tenure with Hill, we find ourselves wondering who we are and what God wants from us in this time and at this place, and it can be unnerving, to say the least. Knowing what mainline denominations like our own know about the nuns and duns and the debt tsunami, which decreases pledges and membership, and all these things that point to the death of the institutional church, it is not hard to wonder if Grace and Holy Trinity Church will survive into the 22nd century. What will this place look like in 10 or 20 or 30 years? Will this building even exist for my children's children's children? It's a good and joyful thing to have these questions, to plan for the future and to consider if who we were and who we are is the same as what God is calling us to be. But we need not to have the answers to these questions right now. And if we do not have the answers to these questions, that does not mean we need to panic. Remember, Jesus standing in the temple telling the disciples about earthquakes and floods, famines and plagues. What did the disciples do? They panicked. When will this come to be, Lord? How can we prepare? I can almost see them doomsday prepping, getting go bags and heading for higher ground. Save yourselves, we'll meet you in the promised land. Jesus doesn't want us to be worried about the earthly things. The temples built by human hands, stones upon stones. Jesus wants us to recognize the temporal nature of all the things that surround us and put our faith in things eternal. What that looks like, honestly, I'm not exactly sure. But this is part of why I accepted the call to ordination at this time and in this place. Because as a 30-something-year-old priest who plans to have a lifelong career in ministry, the future of the church is what excites me. Not that I don't love the present. You've heard me say it before. I love you all, but God loves you more, and God is doing more in your lives and in our life together than I even have the slightest understanding of. But it's pretty darn scary, too. And it can feel a bit like we are white-knuckling it through this time of transition. But I know that we can do scary things. And we can be brave. And we get through this moment of anxiety. And when we get through this moment of anxiety and fear on the other side, we will celebrate and say, we can do hard things. So it is an absolute blessing today that we will get to talk about the future in our interim conversation. And we will talk about what some of the hard things that God is calling us to do are. And what does our future hold? Fear not, beloveds. Fear not. Be brave. Be brave. Amen.